This is Phil Farron. And I am driving home. It's Thursday today. It is episode 652, I think. It's been a good week. Been busy. Been ramping up to take a little vacation next week. So, you know, all those extra little details, getting those under control. Let's see. So work is good. I think we're good. We had a couple of days this week. Things were hopping. But you know what? We're okay. We actually had something on Monday where a script had been updated by the person who does those sort of user end scripts. And it had an error in it, but it was firing on every page, and it was firing so much that it was crashing the app pool, and so we were just getting all these weird, random errors, and I was like, what is going on? And then I finally, you know, chased it down to the fact that we had an error in a script, and got that taken care of. Well, I should say, wrote the guy who handles that kind of stuff and say, does this look familiar? Yep, that's mine. Okay, great. Once we got that taken care of, then everything cleaned up. Went back to just normal because that code had been running fine for years and years. So anyway, so that was a little exciting. Had, you know, multiple little things here and there that we had to take care of. I had a moment today when it looked like maybe some of the MFA transactions, they're called, that were being generated by the monkeys for one particular thing were off, but it was just a different way of doing it. So once we talked through all of that, we decided, you know what, that works. So yay, didn't have to change anything. So anyways, works good. Writing is, I'm waiting for the beta copies to come in at this point. I have released some of the PDFs already. So some people have been reading through some things. So that's all going fine. I've started book 16, although I've kind of taken a lackadaisical approach to book 16 so far. Because I actually have, this is kind of a free week, and then next week is vacation, so that'll kind of be a free week. I won't hold myself necessarily to 10,000 words, but I know where I'm going, and it should be a fairly easy write, and I don't technically start my writing sprint until the first week in October. So I haven't necessarily been pushing it and using a little bit of that extra time to work on the Halloween costume. Halloween costume is coming along fine. I thought I had made a fatal blunder yesterday where I was going to have to build some extra stuff. And then I went, wait a minute, and then kind of backed my way up. Jesus is good to help me do those things. I get going down one path and think, well, then I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I have to do this. And then I get away from it. Jesus goes, or... That's true. Or, and so, had one of those moments happen. Had another interesting moment that I've been sharing with friends, because last Friday, I took pictures of the kids, the grandkids, for the cover. I did get pictures of both of the grandkids. I had upped their pay a little bit, and that seemed to help. So instead of $15 a piece, I gave them $25 a piece for Amazon gift cards. So, you know, that seemed to do the trick. It'll be interesting to see if I can get this whole series finished with both of them on the covers. It'll just be interesting. But if I don't, that's okay too. But as part of that, while I was shooting those things, typically when I shoot them for cover, what I do is we do it outside, and typically we do it late in the evening so that we, you know, get that evening golden hour type thing. We can't quite get a real golden hour because there are trees in the way, and so when the sun gets low on the horizon, when you really get that golden hour, it's behind trees, and so it just doesn't work. but at least we get kind of close to it. This one we shot a little earlier in the late afternoon, so we didn't quite get to golden hour, but yeah, it's fine, it's fine, it's fine. And so what was interesting was I have to set up outside. In this case, I put a plastic table on the ground, not set up, on the ground. And then I had them either seated or standing in front of that. And then I had a green screen behind them so that it would be easier to cut out. So I had a bunch of pieces. And so I had actually driven my car the 300 feet down to them. And had hauled everything out of the trunk while they were getting dressed in costumes and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, brought along a copy of the base cover, because I always make the base with the images and everything that I'm going to composite them into, so that I can see what angles I need to shoot at and whether I need to be up above or down below or, you know, all that stuff. And so I had that. And we took the pictures, and then I loaded everything back in the car, and then at that point, someone is fixing their truck in the right-hand turn lane. At that point, then, I was ready to go, so I hop down in the car, and I look around, and I can't find my keys. Well, wait, before that, I get everything cleaned up, and then a little voice says, you know, you might just take one more look around real quick. Oh, okay. And so I start looking around real quick, and just immediately I start getting this, well, you don't need to look around. You've got everything. What are you looking around for? This is dumb. You've already picked up everything. What if they look out their windows and they see you looking around? They're going to wonder, what in the world is he doing? What are you doing? You know, they're like, rah, 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 you know. But I know that's just flesh. It's just dumb flesh. And so I just ignore it. Looked around. Didn't look around a ton, but I looked around a little. Flopped back down in my car. And I start looking for my keys. Can't find my keys to the car. Mind you, at this point, I'm carrying a car key with a puncher for the doors and the trunk. That's all I have. So it's just two little pieces on a little ring. That's it. And it's gray and black. So it's not like it's bright orange or something. And I'm looking around in my car, can't find anything, can't find anything, can't find anything, can't find anything. I'm like, what in the world? I'm looking, you know, in my center console, I'm looking at my glove compartment, did it fall down between the seats? Because normally I just throw my keys in the glove compartment. Again, what is going on here? And so, you know, I don't spend too much time doing that because I know what I should be doing as opposed to looking around. So I just say, dear Jesus, what did I do with those keys? And it's only moments later where this image flashes through my mind of me holding that base cover in my hand with my keys and throwing both of them down near a tree that's nearby. Because I had gotten out, I had the base cover, I had something else, I can't remember, and I threw down the base cover and my keys, and then I went and scrambled around and got everything else done. And sure enough, popped out of the car, walked over to the tree, looked down to the base of the tree, there they were. I would have looked for a long time. I would have looked for a long time without that little whisper from Jesus. Now then, here's what's interesting about that story. What's interesting about that story is my flesh began deriding me for looking around where I might have seen my keys before I knew my keys were missing. And I remember thinking, well, that's kind of strange. You know, at the time it happened, it's like, what? You know, oh, are you worried about what they'll think of you when you look out? But it's like that. But my flesh obviously knew that I had thrown my keys down by the tree, and it didn't want me looking over there because it wanted to get me as frustrated as possible. So it was already working to keep me from discovering something that I didn't know was missing yet. So So, you know, I told that story to a friend today. Oh, you know what? I'm going by the church and I need to, one moment. Okay, I'm back, sorry. I normally swing by the church on Thursdays just to see if they need any extra help, but I'm going straight home today because we're having small groups at our house at 6:30, and I want to make sure that my wife needs any help, I'm available to help a little bit as we get things ready. Got to set up chairs, got to get room for 14 people, blah, 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 make sure the video's ready to go, print out the questions, yada, 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 yada. So, anyways, but what's fascinating to me about that whole story is the fact that the flesh knew ahead of time that I had thrown my keys down, and it tried to distract me from finding them until I got in the car. And then, of course, once I get in the car and start looking, I can't believe your keys aren't here. You're so dumb. You should have put them in there. Where are your keys? They must be in the car somewhere. Keep looking in the car, you know. You know, when it knows they're not in the car, you would have to know they're not in the car because it was already trying to keep me from looking where the keys were. Now, I told that story to a friend today and he kind of looked at me like, what? I don't know if he's quite on board with this whole thing of the flesh being a different version of ourselves inside us that's working against us, you know. But that's okay. Interesting interactions. So anyways, all that's going well. Got the cover done. Got the books files uploaded. Got the beta copies ordered. They should be here by the time I get back from vacation. We're just going to do a little running around in and out, up and down a little bit. Jeff City, we're going to take a day trip to Branson. Going to take a day trip down to Eureka Springs. La la la. A couple of day trip. But so it'll be fun. We're just kind of hanging close to home. So all that is well. I will have to, you know, finish this up as soon as I get home. So I can't just gab because I gotta get home so I can help my beloved. So this week I came across an article. Actually, there were two things, and one thing started me thinking about this, and I may do more on this, even though it is about COVID. I may do more on this. Actually, there were two things on COVID that I have the potential to talk about. I may do more on this later, but I watched a YouTube video this last week where the commentator was commenting on the topic of, will science survive COVID-19? Because he was going through and documenting all of the things that had happened so far, where if we were really science-based, those things would not have happened. We would not have come to premature conclusions about things. We would not be censoring people over having views that do not ascribe to the orthodoxy. That's not the way science works. But we have really, here recently, moved into a very monolithic, authoritarian, this is what you are supposed to believe, and if you don't believe it, you're an outsider and a freak, and you're fringe, and you should be condemned, and you're a witch. Because it's not anymore, it's not just that you're wrong, it's that you're evil and you're a witch. Because it has all the same flavorings of the witch hunts or the Inquisition. And in the process of thinking about all that, I had done things with COVID. I came across an article having to do with Hunter Biden's laptop. and it once again reinforced this concept that truth often goes through three phases. First, it is ridiculed. This is not original with me. First, it is ridiculed, and then it is violently opposed, and then it is accepted as if it was self-evident by the same people who were ridiculing it and violently opposed that. And that happened this week. Because apparently there is an author a book that was put out by Politico, the Politico Playbook, published reporting from correspondent Ben Schreckinger's new book, The Bidens, which delved into the emails that surfaced in the explosive reporting that was ultimately suppressed by big tech. You may have remembered that just weeks before the election, I can't remember exactly where in there, the word got out, was published in a story by the New York Post, I think, about the fact that supposedly Hunter Biden had dropped off a laptop to some computer repair guy, and he had sat on it forever, and when the guy never came back, he finally popped it open and hacked it open and realized he was sitting on what appeared to be Hunter Biden's laptops with all these emails, all these correspondence, some of which directly, if they're true, directly contradicted what Joe Biden was saying about his son's activities. Because, you know, Hunter Biden was a jet setter. He flew around all the world, met with a bunch of business people, got put on boards and was paid lots of money, not for any knowledge, but basically because of his last name. And Joe Biden, all along in the campaigns, whenever he was asked about it, said, I have nothing to do with that. I never met with any of the associates. Whatever Hunter Biden, Hunter's doing, he's doing it on his own. Hunter is one of the smartest guys I've ever met, blah, 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 blah. There was just all this stuff. Complete, flat-out denial by Joe Biden that he had ever had anything involved with that. When, in fact, the emails reflect one of these business leaders saying, oh, thank you so much for introducing me to your father last night in the meeting we had. And then another email was like, yeah, well, we're going to need X number of dollars for H, and then 10, you know, some percentage of that for the big guy. And of course, all the conservatives have jumped on that and said, well, obviously Joe Biden had met with people, and the big guy is obviously referring to a kickback that Joe Biden was getting. And there's other emails that make references to, you know, the fact that Hunter was unhappy about the fact that he was having to give some of the money that he was earning around the world for being Hunter Biden back to the big guy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So this broke in the New York Post, you may remember, just days, weeks before, and it was roundly condemned, instantly roundly condemned. I mean, there was tech censorship, not being able to forward this story, basically just on the basis of the headline. There was, like, I think it was Twitter, read the headline, their censors said, no, no one is forwarding that. And so they just killed all the links to it. They killed the story. You know, people couldn't talk about it. They were censoring people that were talking about it, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Immediately, the major news medias came out behind it. I think it was the New York Times, maybe. I'm going to get these wrong because I'm not even looking at my notes because I'm going to have to go. New York Times came out and said, well, we've talked to 50, whatever it was, 50 intelligence officers, and they all agree that this is just Russian disinformation. This is just, has all the earmarks of a Russian disinformation campaign. This goes on and on and on, how it was completely, we're not even going to cover this story because there's a non-story here, and this is obviously just a political hit job, and blah, 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 blah. Because everyone just completely dismissed it without even looking at it, even though a business partner of, I'm getting my mail, even though a business partner of Hunter Biden came out and said, all these emails are real. Here are my cell phones that actually have those emails on it. You will see that it was just, blah, 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 blah. I was all done, 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 done. It's not, blah, 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 blah. And it just all got killed. I actually had a friend who we were out for a walk, and I happened to mention to him that this was happening, and he just scoffed. He scoffed outright. Oh, that's just Russian disinformation. Everybody knows that's Russian disinformation. I said, have you looked into it at all? I don't need to look into it. That's just Russian disinformation. You know, because there was this immediate, this does not conform to the playbook. This has the chance of tarnishing Joe Biden's image. Therefore, it cannot be true. Therefore, we're going to stick our fingers in our ears and go la, 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 and not pay attention at all to anything that this is saying, because it absolutely cannot be true. And so that was a whatever going on a year ago. And now, you know, now that Joe Biden is president, and maybe now that he's falling out of favor, now all of a sudden, now left-wing media is starting to say, oh, you know, those emails, yeah, we've verified that those are actually correct, and they did say these things in them, and they did say, okay, so what's going on here? Well, what's going on here is we have an extremely polarized press, and we're not really concerned about the truth anymore. We're only concerned, does this advance the narrative that we wish to advance? And the easiest thing in the world to do would be to allow this narrative, if you happen to be on the conservative side of things, to create frustration and anger and, you know, rage and shaking of fists and strife and dissension and all those kind of things. But it doesn't have to. Because what we really need to do is we need to make sure we are covered by that umbrella. This is going to get worse and worse and worse, okay? I'm just telling you, this is going to get worse. So just get prepared for it. And our hearts and our minds need to be prepared for this. And what we need to do is make sure that we are tucking under that covering all the time. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We need to be under that covering. And as I've been telling people over the last few weeks, you don't need to watch the news. You don't need to be on Facebook. You don't need to be on Twitter. You don't need to be on social media. You don't need to be arguing and trying to prove your point, etc., etc., etc. All you need to do is stay under that covering. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because when you stay under that covering, as I've said over and over, your spirit gets quiet. You can hear the voice of Jesus within you, the voice of the Holy Spirit. He will guide you and direct you, and he will make your life abundant and successful. And that's the key. That's the key. Now then, it's fine to read all that stuff because it is amusing to watch. It is amusing. I mean, it's amusing when you've got congresswomen who, you know, go down to the border when Trump is elected and stand at the fence where there isn't any guy and do their photo op and cry at the fence. And yet when we've got this horrific humanitarian crisis going on at the border, nobody's visiting now. That stuff's hysterical, and it's especially hysterical when Babylon Bee picks it up and they start doing stuff. But you know what? At the end of the day, in 50,000 years, what difference is it going to make? Because we will be with him, and the important thing is to keep our hearts under the covering. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.